My name is Sophia, and I am an art undergrad. Trust me, I know I couldn't have picked a better major if I wanted to earn peanuts. For a course that didn't pay much, studying art cost an arm and a leg. Being dirt broke at 25 will cause you to do a lot of things that sound insane. Not only that, but being broke at 25 is also an avenue for things to happen to you. I came to know this last Saturday at Ava's house. My friend Ava lived in an apartment building uptown, unlike my apartment, which was pretty run down in all the ways that an apartment could be run down. Ava, apart from the beautiful house, had two things I didn't have, or rather, couldn't afford to have: Netflix and a huge LED television with all the latest features and the most stunning display I had ever seen. Deep down, I simply hated the fact that I could not afford such things in life. So when Ava asked me if I could help house sit and take care of her dog, I didn't hesitate to say I was in. I was in school and had been bored out of my mind. I didn't have an active plan that weekend, apart from downloading shows to watch on my phone using the free-to-use piracy sites. "I will be gone for 3 days," Ava said as she searched her handbag to give me what had to be either money or the key. To my delight, it turned out to be both. Before she left, I asked her for her home's Wi-Fi password, which she happily provided. On the first day, I did most of the chores that she asked me to do. By evening, I was almost done but was so tired, I decided that it would be wise to take a break. I sat on the couch, and with a flick of a button, the television came on. I browsed through the movies and ended up just going with a random one. I started the movie and enjoyed my drink peacefully. It was a film about a guy with relationship issues. Can't really remember if I'm telling the truth. What I remember through was halfway through the movie, I began hearing voices from the opposite apartment. It wasn't the sound of ghosts or anything. It was the sound of two people who were arguing. About what? I couldn't really tell. I dismissed the sound and continued watching till I fell asleep. The second day began with me in the doorway holding the leash to Miles, Ava's dog, as we were about to go for a walk. To be honest, Miles could be a pain in the arse, but I wasn't going to complain, as I had been paid well and needed all the money in the world. I was about to leave when the door opposite Ava's apartment opened. Standing at its door was a man with a big black eye. The sight caught me off guard, leaving me staring at the large black mark over his left eye. "You're going to walk the dog?" he asked, pointing at Miles. "Yes," I answered. "Could you help me walk mine? Starcatcher has been getting antsy being stuck indoors," the man with the black eye said. My rejection was at the tip of my tongue and was almost out of my mouth when he said the words that caused me to pause. "I can pay you," the man said. I pretended to give it a thought before giving him the answer I had already settled on immediately. More money. Wow. Seeing my face, the man shakily put his hand into his pocket and brought a wallet holding what I would describe as a fuck ton of money. I took Starcatcher and Miles and walked through the streets before returning to the building. I knocked on the door expecting to see the man with the black eye, but it was a woman who opened the door. "What do you want?" the woman asked. "I want to return Starcatcher," I said, offering the leash to her, which she snatched and without sparing a word, smacked the door in front of me. I sat down to watch Netflix when I started hearing some noise. If I remember correctly, it was similar to the noise I had heard last night. I went close to the door and placed my ear on it. I could hear the words being said through the door. "You should be ashamed," the voice sounded. The voice died down not long after, and I returned to watching until evening, and that was when the argument began again. The argument was followed by a guttural scream that caused my heart to skip a beat. I stood from the couch after the scream and slowly walked towards the door. I could feel my heart beating at a rate that couldn't have been good for my body, and it only continued as I reached closer to the door. As I swung the door open, I caught sight of the woman that I had seen earlier atop of the man. The man was not completely in his senses, like he was drugged or something. And then, what I noticed next shook me to the core. The woman was mercilessly squeezing the balls of the helpless man on the floor. "Call 911," my mind screamed to my body, but I couldn't do anything except watch. My entire body felt stiff with disobedience. Somehow, I broke the rigor and reached for the phone in my pocket when the woman looked up and screamed at me.
"You bitch! Drop the phone now!"
she shouted as she stood up from the man's body and walked towards me. I ran back in Ava's apartment, but forgot to lock the door in a hurry. I hid behind the couch, trying to protect myself from the crazy lady. I reached for my phone, only to remember that I had dropped it in the passageway. The house went quiet before the banging began again, and an unintended scream came out of my mouth. The scream only increased as the door to Ava's house opened. The woman, she was surprisingly strong. She lifted me easily by my hair. "Please don't kill me," I pleaded.
"You've been the bitch fucking my husband, haven't you?"
the woman said.
"No! All this has been a big misunderstanding."
"Shut the fuck up. Not a word more. I know what all has gone into that dirty mouth of yours."
I wanted to explain that I was just house-sitting, but before I could get the words out, Ava's dog attacked. It didn't fill me with confidence when I heard whimpering after he was swung to the chair at the side of the living room. I ran out of the window and climbed the fire escape down, where I saw a police car. The police came back with me, but the woman had disappeared, as though she never existed, leaving the man in pain and Ava's dog bruised. That was the last time I allowed money to dictate my decisions.
Did you enjoy the first story? If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the channel.
She arrived a few minutes earlier than anticipated, with two crates of beer in hand. I smiled, welcoming her in with a hug, before taking her coat and hanging it on the rack. I led her to the living room. I hastily pulled some of my shoes I tossed around, trying to make the place less of a mess than it was. When my gaze rose to meet hers, she had a hint of a sheepish smile on her. "Sorry, you're a bit early," I murmured. She smiled broadly now. It had to be the most beautiful thing ever. "I don't mind, really. My room is a bit worse than this." She pushed some of the clothes from the couch, taking a sit, then tossed them some more, patting the seat beside her. I beamed, unable to hide my intrigue. I sat beside her, handing her a bottle as I took the other. I could not believe how well we matched. I'd met Sassy on a dating site a couple of days back, and our conversation had started with our unusual love for crime documentaries, and before either of us knew what was happening, we were deep into conversations about the mind of serial killers. Everything just seemed to click. It was like she was inside my head, telling me everything I knew. For the first time, someone actually saw things from my perspective, and it was definitely the same for her, because when I asked her to come over to my place and we would watch some documentaries on Netflix, she hadn't hesitated to say yes. She was here and now. "So let's get started," I said, logging into my Netflix account and clicking randomly on one of the documentaries. I had no interest in the documentary, just her. Somehow, I was already falling for this girl. I guess I should have known life never really favored me with such luck. We sat in silence, watching with rapt attention as the documentary began. The only sound was that of our mouth crunching popcorn, and the voice of the narrator as he explained about a serial killer who killed only because he loved the look of terror on the faces of his victims before shooting them. One of the victims had survived after a missed shot, and when she'd returned only to find her attacker still there, she asked him if he wanted to kill her again. Sassy scoffed at this, and I cast a glance at her without another word, then back to the screen. "I think Ted Bundy is still my favorite," I said when the documentary ended. She had an intrigued look on her face. "Why?" she asked, her eyes fixed on me like I was her favorite subject. "Honestly, I don't really know. There's just..." "Oh, come on. Just because he's famous doesn't mean he's the best. There are a lot of serial killers out there today I would never pick over Ted Bundy." "Well, he's handsome, too," I added. "You're handsome," she said. My face turned pink at the compliment. Thank you," I said, clearing my throat. "Another?" I asked. "Oh, no," she said,
As much as true crimes and their theories about serial killers intrigue me, you intrigue me more. Another compliment. I had to clear my voice this time before I found it again. So, she leaned closer, her eyes twinkling. I reached for her, wiping off the hair that dangled between her eyes. She blushed. That was when she asked the question that changed the whole dynamic of our date. Four words, so powerful, they changed my life forever. So, what's your body count? She asked. I opened my mouth. Stuttering, I racked my brain trying to figure out a way to not say I was a virgin and have her walk out of the door. Five, I blurted out. Five? She asked, her smile bright now. I nodded, gulping a huge load of my beer. Five. That's it, with a slow nod. She studied me, that same unreadable smile on her face. You're not a serial killer yet, then, she said, the same smile on her face. I blinked. The obvious surprise on my face must have given me away, because her eyes shone with the same surprise, no doubt mirroring mine. Shoot, I was joking. You have to see your face right now, she said with a strained laugh. I forced out a laugh too, my brain reeling it all in. She wasn't joking. She definitely wasn't joking. My heart pounded in my chest. I turned my gaze to my laptop, sweat forming over my forehead. Everything around me seemed to have swollen twice their usual size. My heart pounded so hard in my chest, despite all my actions to conceal the terror racing through my body now. I could feel her gaze on me, watching my every move. I need to get something from... I felt the heavy squash of the bottle colliding with my head before the pain reeled in. I jolted to motion. But she had already anticipated the move. She caught me by my leg, pulling me to the ground, face flat. God, was she strong. 1 minute I was fighting to free my leg, the next she was on me, her fingers digging into my neck. I pushed my hands, trying to free myself, but nothing. God, this is how I'm going to die? God, I can't die. I can't die. My heart was thrashing to get away from my chest now. I pushed with all my weight. For someone so small, she felt heavy, or perhaps the way she held my hands. I could not use all my strength. Something sharp stung my finger, and almost instantly I reached for it, grabbing the bottle. Never mind it tearing through my fingers. I pushed the bottle into her. She squeaked in pain. It was all the seconds I needed. I pushed to my feet, darting to the door again. But she was on me, fast and furious, fighting more like a wrestler than an average girl. Christ. There was no escaping her. I knew it. There was no reaching the door that was so close but felt so far away. There was only one way out. I turned to her. No more running. I threw a wide punch, trying to catch anything. She caught my hand with a snap. I felt the bone on my shoulder shift, contested only by the scream that followed, like a hallowing cry. I threw the other hand. It collided with her jaw for the first time. She grunted again. I turned. Instead of running, I climbed onto her, fist reaching for her face. Her fingers grabbed me, her hands digging into my eyes, fingers pressing my balls, wreaking pain through every part of me. My eyes felt like they were about to explode, and I grabbed her hand. That same incredible strength came to her rescue. But I continued my fist wrapped around her neck, squeezing tight. I could feel my muscles weaken the same as hers, our breaths heavy. No, there was no winning this. I reached around me, feeling for any of the shards from the broken bottle. She must have realized because almost instantly, her hands attacked my eyes. My eyelids felt like a thread was sewing them together. Still, but I knew this was the one thing standing between me and death. Willing myself to rise, and thanks to my knowledge of my house, I raced towards the window, diving through it, eyes closed. True to my aim, glass tore through my skin as I stumbled outside, landing on the lawn. I took to my heels, running blindly, screaming, "Help! Help!" Soon, murmurs surrounded me. I rushed towards the murmurs, still attempting to open my eyes. Nothing still. Behind them, the darkness remained with the lingering pain. A hand guided me, followed by the blaring of sirens. My heart pounded in my chest. I was safe. The police were already close. "Are you okay?" The familiar voice of my neighbor cooed. There's a serial killer in my house," I stammered, a shiver racing through my body. Seeing my condition,
Rick, my neighbor, acted swiftly. He took me indoors while we waited for the police. I reported everything to the cops. I immediately took out my phone and opened the dating app, but to my horror, Sassy's profile was no longer there. The cops rushed to my apartment, but there was no trace of her. It had been 2 weeks now, and they are yet to get back to me. While I'm in recovery mode, I still suffer from constant anxiety and nightmares. I don't think I will be comfortable with online dating ever again. The lecturer was taking too long to finish the online class, and while my attention was not there one bit, I could only hope that he was going to end the class soon. My girlfriend and I had been sending texts to each other, and I had this desperate urge to tear her clothes apart after the class. The clock was ticking slowly, very, very slowly. "See you all next week. Don't forget to prepare your projects for submission," the lecturer said before logging off. I too logged out and called her. Her voice, it always made my heart skip a beat. "Want to come over to my apartment to Netflix and chill later?" I asked her. "Jonas, you should be studying and preparing your project, which I'm sure you haven't started. We both know this is the last chance you have. You've had to repeat many of your classes about 3 times, she said. "I know, but give me a break. Just tonight, and I promise to be focused on books throughout the whole semester," I requested. "Fine." I gave her a kiss and ran out after telling her I had to prepare for our date. She was much younger than I was, but I couldn't be happier that I met her because I retook my classes. She was one thing that didn't make me regret failing, though it was crazy to say such. I decorated the room with roses and scented candles, which she liked. I checked the time and waited patiently for her to arrive anytime soon, since it was already 8, the time she told me she was going to come around. I adjusted my shirt when I heard the knock on the door. I sighed and checked everything to be sure it was perfect before opening the door. "You are beautiful." I kissed her hand as soon as she walked in. She blushed and complimented me too before she sat down. I gave her a glass of wine before sitting close to her and turning the TV on. She told me the candles were too much for a Netflix and chill, but I ignored her. Nothing was ever too much. She loved candles and roses, and I was going all out to do it for her, and would do more if she wanted me to. I collected the glasses from her and returned them to the kitchen. I was on my way back to mount her when I slipped and hit my head on the floor. I got up and ignored it until I perceived smoke. I turned around and realized it was on my shirt and already burned my hand halfway. I screamed very loud, and Lena heard me. She rushed to where I was and froze at the sight. I yelled at her to help me, but she kept looking without moving an inch. I struggled to put it off when another candle caught the other side of my shirt. I screamed very loud, and when she eventually moved, she ran to the chair to pick her bag, and then she was out of the house and left me to myself. I yelled really loud, expecting her to come back when another candle took my trousers. I stopped shouting and accepted my fate. I felt myself being lifted from the ground, but didn't bother opening my eyes, and I couldn't even if I tried to. The beeping sound of a machine became louder every second, and when I opened my eyes, 2 doctors were at my side, recording things down and looking at the machine consistently. "Glad you're awake. Your girlfriend brought you in earlier, Jonas. You suffered minor burns only. Thanks to your girl, you arrived on time," the older doctor said. "She told us she was going to come back, and we are still waiting for her." "Thank you," I told them before they left. I waited for a while, hoping she would be back soon. My phone beeped by my side, and I picked it up, hoping to see a text from her that she was close by, but my hopes were probably too high. "I'm sorry, Jonas. This can't work out between the two of us. You choke me sometimes with the way you do things, and I'm a calm person. I can't continue this relationship. Besides, it's really weird to think that you are much older than me, and I can't present that to people. The age gap between us makes things worse. I'm sorry. I like you, but this can't continue." I read the text about 5 times before I was finally able to drop my phone. I didn't know how I was supposed to feel, but it clearly wasn't supposed to be what should be happening at the moment. Whatever. I tried to calm myself while staring out the window. It is what it is.
My mother always said it was not easy packing up to travel to a place, especially for a large family like ours where we were more than seven, thanks to the never-ending love of my parents. So, as to avoid any late hours rushing or packing under pressure, whereby I forgot to pack some things, I made sure that I started packing 4 days to the day we were traveling, down to greet our grandparents on the south side of the continent. The night before the trip, I thought I was going to sleep early, but it was harder because of how many episodes I had to see. I knew I was not going to have the time in my grandparents' place due to the fact that my mother believed so much in family time that she was going to seize all of our electronic devices for the whole 7 days we were going to be there. I couldn't miss out on Bridgerton. I had to catch up to a point, at least. I checked the time after watching about 10 episodes on Netflix. It was 4 in the morning, and our trip was scheduled for 7, which meant we were going to be leaving the house by 6 in the morning so as to not miss our flight. I switched off my laptop and eventually got some sleep. Joy in my soul that I was going to see my grandparents after about 3 years. The light from the curtain was what woke me up later that morning. I turned in bed and realized there was no mom's voice that was yelling at me to get up from bed, and the house was too quiet. Quiet in the kind of way that forced me to jump up out of bed and go downstairs to check what was going on. The sitting room was dark from all the curtains brought down. I tried to open the door and realized that it was locked. I called my mom and dad and the names of my siblings with no reply. I got scared for a second. They couldn't have forgotten me here, right? I asked no one in particular. I ran back up to my phone to call any of them. They could still be close by. I checked the time and realized it was 10 in the morning. If their flight took off at the time it was supposed to, they would be with my grandparents now, so I tried my luck. All their numbers were switched off and it suddenly clicked. My mom must have collected everything because her number was switched off as well. I tried my grandparents' number, but it said the same thing also. I was old enough to stay home by myself, but not when I was locked in or when I was trapped in a place where I couldn't get out. I confirmed my fear of being trapped in a place right there. I had always told my mom about it, but she thought I was just lying. I went back to bed accepting my fate and continued with Netflix, hoping that I would find something to do in 7 days to get my mind off of it. My parents probably didn't even know I was left behind because they had so many children to watch at once. I was on the second episode of the new season of the series that I had started when I heard the door to our house open. I wanted to yell out loud in case it was any of my family members, but I just decided to run to them instead. I ran out of the room and stopped in my tracks when I noticed the person who was downstairs was not someone I knew at all. She didn't look like any of my family members and looked a little bit older than my mom. I went back into my room and closed the door, making sure I'd locked it behind me. I picked up the bat behind the door just to protect myself. "Who's up there?" Her voice was very thick, but one could tell that she was still a woman. "Come out already," she said. I remained as silent as I could and continued to think of what I could do when I heard a knock on the other side of the door. "Come out now." She sounded impatient and like she was ready to push down the door if I didn't come out. I remained behind the door, silently, and just ignored anything she was saying. She continued to knock the door, harder each time, and she placed her knuckles on the door. "Fine, your parents are going with me then," she said and stopped knocking. I almost laughed out really loud at what she said. How could she possibly have my parents when they were on the other side of the world, probably having barbecue at this moment? I could still tell she was behind the door and was waiting for me to give in to her excuse of my parents being with her to make me come out. I was not even stupid, must have thought she was talking to a child. Her legs hit the ground impatiently, and the moment she knew that I wasn't going to give in, she started hitting the door continuously while shouting in a way that the neighbors couldn't tell that there was an intruder, but also that there was a way that made me frustrated. I ran to my table and picked up the pepper spray. At least I could use that to my advantage. I couldn't stay inside forever, and I had to make sure she didn't take anything from the house either. She had stopped knocking, and even though I could see her legs from the space between the door and the floor, I still decided to go out. Whatever would happen would surely do. I placed the pepper spray in my hand, while the bat remained in my other hand after I opened the door a little. She pushed the door wide open, and before I could get a chance to do anything, I sprayed pepper spray in her face without giving her any chance to redeem herself. I continued spraying before running down to pick up the house phone to call 911. I felt a force grab me from behind with all the frustration I could feel coming off the person. I knew it was the woman. She was strangely stronger than I had imagined, and her energy surpassed mine. I argued with her and tried to loosen myself from her grip, but she kept holding me back and hit me violently. I had dropped the pepper spray when I was trying to dial the number, and while I was left with only the bat in my hand, I wasted no time and hit her directly on the head. She yelled at me and pulled me back by the neck while trying to pull the bat from me. I hit her again and she fell to the floor, helpless. I couldn't tell if she was dead or not because her chest moved up and down in a pattern that wasn't rhythmic. I dialed 911 and after explaining everything, I picked up the pepper spray and placed it in my hand for if she woke up again while waiting for the help to arrive. I was bored as usual. I was home, on my phone, scrolling through Instagram, TikTok, and every other platform that I could get my hands on. I admit, I was addicted to social media, but how can you blame me? As a millennial, we didn't exactly grow up with it, but we managed to assimilate it into our lives without a problem, and now it's a part of our daily routine. Hello there, I'm Amber, and I'm 27 years old. I wanted to tell you the story about this bad side of social media. Yes, you heard that right. It does have a bad side, and it's worse than you'd ever imagine. So as I was saying, I was bored, scrolling through my phone when I got a friend request on Snapchat. It was a name I never heard of, Jack Tyler. Sounded innocent enough, so I accepted it. After a couple seconds, I got a snap. It was a car, sitting in a parking lot. The picture was taken from behind and it was really blurry, so I couldn't make out if someone was actually in the car or if it was empty. But I could see that the parking lot was empty. I asked the guy what was with that picture, but I didn't get a response, so I decided to leave it like that. I then got a phone call from my friend, Macy. She had something important to tell me about a guy she went on a date with. She continued telling me that he was a weirdo and that he talked about all these horrible things and so on. She told me that he talked about murders and how he always imagined what it's like to be killed or even to kill. Then Macy began telling me that she lied to him. She told the guy that she got a text from me, even though I didn't text her, and that she had to go because it was an emergency. We both laughed and I told her that there are a lot of weirdos out there. After that, Macy wanted to tell me something. She started out saying the following. So anyway, I'm at... And that's when the call ended. I always assumed that her phone died. I tried calling her back, but it went straight to voicemail. I didn't think anything more about it. I knew how she was. She was always on her phone, and it was normal that she would run out of battery. So I went into the kitchen to make myself some popcorn, and as I was waiting for the last pop, I got a notification on my phone. I thought it was Macy, but it wasn't. The notification was from Snapchat, and when I opened it, I saw that it was from the same guy who sent me the blurry photo of the car. Now it was a blurry photo of something red and the inside of a car. I couldn't make out anything. It was pretty dark, and beside the colors, I couldn't see any details. I asked the guy again what was his problem and if we knew each other, but he never replied. So my popcorn was ready, so I closed the app, grabbed a bowl, and went into the living room and turned on the TV. I was really in the mood for a romantic comedy, and Netflix was my obvious choice. But before I had the chance to open the app, a breaking news story caught my eye. It was from my town. The news reporter was talking about a young girl who was brutally murdered in her own car. The girl was supposedly alone, and her face was so horribly disfigured, and her teeth were pulled out and her fingers were cut off, and that the police have yet to identify her. I really got scared. How could this thing happen in my own small town? Nothing really happens around here. So I went on Netflix, but not before I double-checked every door and window in my house. That news report really got to me. But there's nothing like a romantic comedy to fix things, right? As the movie started, I really enjoyed it. It was about a guy who really got into this girl, but she was too high and mighty for him. He was from a bad part of town, and she was a posh princess with a lot of money. At halfway through the movie, I got another notification. It was from Snapchat, again. I didn't want to open it because I was at a really interesting part of the movie, so I didn't pick up my phone. After about 2 more minutes, I got another notification. And you know how it is. You have to see what you received. The curiosity is so strong when it comes to social media. I paused the movie and I picked up my phone. It was just as I expected. It was from the same guy, and I saw that I received another 2 photos. The first one, from what I could tell, was of a house. but it was still blurry and dark. I couldn't see what house it was, but the second photo caught my eye. It looked like it was of a person inside a home watching TV. It was blurry, so no details popped up, but there was something that did stand out to me. It was something that had a very specific green color. As I raised my eyes and looked next to my TV, I saw my green vase in which I had some flowers. I then analyzed the photo and saw that it was actually a photo of me. I freaked out. I then realized that the house was mine and the photo was of me. I got up, went to my window to see if anyone was there, and then shut my blinds. I was scared. The next thing I knew, my upstairs window had been broken. The sound of glass shards falling on the floor startled me. I went upstairs to see what was going on, and all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my shoulder. I turned around, and it was a masked man. He hit me in the head, and I fell to the floor, but I didn't lose consciousness. Even though I started bleeding, I got up dizzy, and I started running, and he was right after me. I managed to get into a room and close the door. He was hitting the door with his foot, trying to knock it over, and at that moment, I had the idea of getting out of the house through the window. I opened the window and I found myself on the roof. The guy came after me and he rushed towards me with a knife. Fortunately for me, he tripped on a loose tile and fell right off the roof. As I looked to the ground, I saw that the knife he had pierced his chest. In that moment, it hit me. This was the same guy Macy went out on a date with. I wanted to let out a loud scream, but nothing could come out of my mouth. I wanted to cry, but no tears. Suddenly, very suddenly, the world wasn't the same for me. Ever.